Again, a welcome to all our visitors this morning. There's so many. Just happy to see a lot of unfamiliar faces. That's a good thing, amen? It's Christmas time. So, you should expect a Christmas sermon. And what a better place than to go to Luke chapter 2. Go there with me. Luke chapter 2. And would you pray with me before we begin reading? Heavenly Father, we are about to open your word. And we do this solemnly and reverently, Lord. And we ask that you would bless our understanding as we read from your book. In thy name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Beginning with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Peace. Gives me a good feeling when I say peace. Just get a good feeling about you when you say that word. My friends and I, instead of saying goodbye or see you later, we'll throw a deuce up, as we say, and we'll say peace. That's our goodbye or farewell. But as I was reading this passage here, it says, Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. What is peace? So we go to the dictionary, and this is what we find, folks. A state of tranquility or quiet. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Sometimes you feel a war going on inside you. You ask for peace, right? Harmony in personal relations. A state or period of mutual concord between governments. A pact or agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war. Or it can be used interjectionally, as I do, to say farewell. Or to ask for silence or calm as a greeting or a farewell. Peace, according to the dictionary. Now, while I was in college, I would often meet an interesting vehicle on the road. It was an old Volkswagen bus. Had flowers painted on the side of it. No kidding, just a few years ago. Volkswagen bus with flowers painted on the side of it, and the driver was a young guy like me, and he looked like a flashback from the 60s. In fact, a lot of my friends look like a flashback of the 60s. And you guys hear the word peace, and you think of VW bugs and buses, and you think about the hippies, and you think about the Woodstock, And you think of the word peace, and during that time you think of it being absence of war or wanting the absence of war. Peace could also be when you're not scratching one another's eyes out in your family, right? But what is it that the angels meant? Or what is it that the Hebrew men here understood when the angel said, Peace on earth and goodwill toward men? That's what we want to look at this morning. And in order to understand that, we need to dive into the Jewish culture just a little bit. So I hope that this will be of benefit to you. Now, you guys recall the phrase maybe in the 60s and 70s, Peace, baby? Let me suggest to you that peace came in the form of a baby, the Prince of Priests, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. That's a word for you to remember today, a Hebrew word, shalom, peace. Okay. In your Bibles, If you would go to the book of Numbers, and we'll begin to understand a little bit more about this peace that the angels pronounced to these Jewish men. What those Jewish men heard that night. Numbers chapter 15. So we're going to dive into Jewish culture just a little bit. So before we read, who can tell me what the Jews call the first five books of the Scriptures?
Torah.
So, everybody say that word, Torah. All right. So, the Torah was, it's a word that strikes deeply into the heart of every Jew. The Torah was life for the Jewish people. Okay? And it meant everything to them. It was the Bible. And now, you must also understand in Jewish culture, they viewed God as a lover coming for his bride. Just as we read the book of Revelation and we think about the bridegroom that cometh, correct? And we read about that in Paul's writings and his allusions to the church being the bride and the bridegroom that comes for his church. So they're looking for the bridegroom to come. And this God is a lover who's looking for his bride, looking for his love. And so God loves his people so much that he gives them the Torah. He gives them the teachings. And the Torah for the Jewish people, this is life for them. They had a high regard for the Scriptures, as we will see. Because they knew that in the Torah, that's how they would get maximum joy and maximum peace and maximum everything out of life, out of the Torah. Because the Torah was, in fact, they call the Torah the way, the truth, and the life. Interesting, we just studied that a month ago. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, he says. So Jesus was saying, I am a fulfillment of the Torah. So it had a deeper meaning to the Jews when they heard that. The Word made flesh. Numbers chapter 15, verse 37, 38, and 39. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring. So he says, wear tassels as a constant reminder of God. I hope to make a tassel with you this morning. But if not, I already have one made. You guys ever been to a Jewish synagogue? What do they wear? A tallis. A tallis means a little tent. It's a prayer shawl for us English folk, okay? A prayer shawl. So he's saying, on your prayer shawl, on the border, and that's funny because there's no corners on the board, on the garment, but on the corners of your garment, he says, put a tassel. So they make these tassels, and we're going to figure out what this tassel means to them. And so they have tassels along the borders of their garments. And so if you imagine me wearing a prayer shawl, and it's along the borders, and so it's hanging around their neck, down their arms, and these things are always in their hands, kind of fumbling around in your hands, in the way. So that's what we want to look at. Now, two words that are interesting here. He says, wear tassels. This is the tassel. As a constant reminder of God's commandments, of his law, and so that you don't stray away, go whoring like you did after other gods. Okay, so where are these tassels. Now the Hebrew word for tassel is spelled T-Z-I-T-Z-I-T. We'd say tzitzit in the South. But it's setzi in the Hebrew. Okay, you remember that? Setzi in the Hebrew. Another word that you need to remember from this passage is the word for corner. And that's the word kanaf. You remember that? Kanaf for corner. And setzi for tassel. Now, a good Torah observant Jew would wear the prayer shawl. And in fact, before he would put on the prayer shawl, he would say this prayer. Barak ata Adonai Eluhenu, melech ha'olam asher kitshanu, bezmitova vetzedanu laitatev bezetzi. In plain English, blessed are you, the Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has made us holy with his commandments and commanded us to wrap ourselves in tassels. It's a constant reminder of God, of his commandments. And that's what we just read in Numbers. Wear on the borders of your garment, put on these tassels as a reminder of God's law, of God's commandments. I wish I had a prayer shawl with me this morning. But on the prayer shawl, on the neck piece, those words of that prayer I just said to you are usually found. And if they are, they will kiss the first and the last letter of that saying. And then they say the phrase, and then they say the blessing, then they put on the prayer shawl. And they kiss those two letters, again representing their love affair with God, because the bridegroom is looking for his love. So they were in a love affair with God. Often, when I was in the Collegedale, Chattanooga, Tennessee area, I would see Jewish folks going to the synagogue, and they would have their prayer shawls. You can go to Augusta on Broad Street in Walton Way, and you can see folks also with their prayer shawls as they go to synagogue. So they will wear these prayer shawls, and they indicate different things. They would wear them all the time in the days of Jesus. Now they're only supposed to wear them at certain times, and not in the evening, because you're supposed to be able to see the knots on these tassels, which we'll talk about in just a minute. They were good. They held the Bible in high regard. They held God's law in high regard. And they made it very grandiose to them. And sometimes they added much more meaning to it than was needed, which is what's so fascinating about it. And that's what I want to look at with you this morning. The tassel, the zetzi. Okay? The first five books of the Torah, what are they? Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Good. Active participation. Now, every string on this tassel every twisting of the knot has a symbolic meaning. It had and it has a symbolic meaning. What you would have, you're going to have to bear with me. I don't think I'm going to be able to, I made like three of these this morning. Just finally, I chose one that worked. So you're going to have three strings, three threads, if you will. I have yarn here. One of them is 3 foot long, and the other three are 2 foot long. Now you're supposed to put them through a buttonhole. I've got a little key ring here. You put it through the buttonhole, and then you fold it in half. Okay? It's through the buttonhole, you fold it in half, and then you're supposed to make a knot. And that's the first knot here. You can see the mark color. Okay, one knot, two knots, three knots, four knots, five knots. They represented the books of the Torah: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So when he says you're going to wear these tassels on the border of your garment, it's on the prayer shawl. It's on their hands, and you can feel it all the time. You always had in your hand a constant reminder of the Torah. Very neat. Always remembered God and his books and what he had there for them. So what you do is you fold that in half, you make one knot, and then you take the longer string and you wrap it around the other, is it eight strings, seven times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? And then you make another knot. And then you tie it around eight times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You make another knot, and then you are going to go out 11 times. Another knot, and you go around 13 times, and then your final knot. So you had 5 knots, and you have 4 spaces in between those knots. Now, there was reasons for every knot and every twist. The first two windings, we said how many windings the first time? 7. The second time was 8. 7 plus 8, 15. And then the next one was 11. Add those two, we come to 26. Now, every letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a numerical value. You start with Aleph, the first letter, 1. Beit, 2, and you go on. So you go to put these together, the 15 and 11 is 26, is equal to the Hebrew letters Yod, He, Vav, and He again. Yes. For Yahweh. You know the word Yahweh. Jehovah. Okay. And so they had this upon their hands so they would remember the 5 books of the Torah. They would remember these twistings. They would remember Yahweh, their God. And the last 13 equal the Hebrew letters Aleph, Chet, and Dale, which is the word Echad, which means one. So whenever they would remember the 26, they remember Yahweh, they remember the 13, they remember that's one, they would remember, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. So they remember the 5 books of the Torah, and they remember the God who is just one God. Okay, a constant reminder. Now the letters for the word for tassel, Zetzi, have a numerical value of 600. Okay, and we had plus the 5 books, plus the 8 strands that went around, plus the 8 strands, because there's 8 strands in that make this. So the 600 plus the 5 plus the 8 equals 613. Does that number mean anything to you as you think about the Jewish culture? They had 613 laws of Moses that they remembered, right? So they remembered the 5 books of the Torah. They remembered Yahweh. They remembered that He is one God. And they remembered all their laws and ordinances. So He says, put this on the borders of your garment as a reminder, as a constant reminder of God's commandments, so that you won't stray away as you have done in the past. So that's what these little tassels mean. That's what the meaning behind these tassels on that zetzi around that prayer shawl, that talis. We said that these 4 spaces represent the yod, he, vav, and the he, which is the 4 letters for Yahweh. You know, if you ever go to a Jewish synagogue and they come across the word, those 4 letters, they won't. It's unpronounceable. They won't say it. Instead of reading that, they would say Adonai. Now, if you look at your Bible in the Old Testament, you'll see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's an attempt to translate Yod, He, Vav, He. And you notice how I'm saying that? It's very Yod, He, Vav, He. Some people, some scholars think that when, remember Moses? On the burning bush, and he says, "Who am I going to tell him that you are?" He says, "I am, I am." He's like, "Well, but what am I supposed to tell him?" So God says, "Well, tell him that the Lord Yod He Vav He sent you." Some scholars believe that the Lord just kind of breathed there, which makes an interesting point. It's so nice when a baby's born. What's the first thing the baby needs to do? He needs to breathe. Or if you will, say the name of God. Or what about when a person dies, he can no longer take a breath. Or if you will, say the name of God. So just kind of interesting. And so reminder of us that every breath we take is God-given. Amen? Now, the knots and spaces representing Yahweh, the Torah, the laws and ordinances, remembering that Yahweh is one, a constant reminder of God's law, of God's love, of God's word, of God's holy name. That's what this little tassel was for them, as they would wear it and they would feel it. All these things that would come back to mind for them. And so whenever they were tempted to go after idols or do this or that, no, I belong to God, because this little thing reminded them who they belong to and what order they followed. Now, when you would go, if you would go to the synagogue to pray, or when they would go to the synagogue to pray, they would put their prayer shawl over their heads, And then they would wrap their fingers around the tassel, the tsetse. Again, and when they did that, what did you say that the prayer shawl was called? A talis? And that, the word, it would be little tent, which you could see if I were to put my jacket over my head and spread my arms, it'd be like a little tent. So remember what Jesus says, you go to your closet to pray? Not where the vacuum cleaner is or the brooms or the mop is. But that had a lot of meaning. They had this talus. Now, you have, remember, out in the wilderness, 6 million Jews, there's no way they could all enter into the temple, into the sanctuary, right? So each one of them had their talus, their prayer shawl, and that's where they could meet with God on there. That was their closet to pray. And they would put the prayer shawl over their head, and they would sing praises, and they would talk to God and pray with Him. They would totally focus on God through that prayer. That was their prayer closet. Now, we have our prayer closets today, too. You guys probably taught your children, or you were taught yourself, when you pray, you fold your hands, and you bow your head, and you close your eyes. That's you entering into your prayer closet, your privacy with God. You guys remember the story in 1 Samuel 24? King David, he wasn't king yet, but King Saul was chasing after David. And then David found Saul in a cave, and he cuts off the corner of his garment. Now Saul, who was a good Torah observant Jew, he would have a tzetzi on the corner of his garment. And so here comes David, and he cuts off the corner of his garment, and that story finally makes sense to me a little more. David cuts that off, and David is so guilt-ridden after he does that, because symbolically he had killed the Lord's anointed. And you remember, the Torah is life, and he had been cut off from the life. This is represent all these things, he had been cut off. So Saul has nothing to remind him of that. So effectively, Saul had been excommunicated from God. And David, what right do I have to excommunicate anybody? To excommunicate Saul. And so he's filled with guilt. And now Saul, as he's walking around, he no longer has any tzetzi to remind him of who he serves. And so he's constantly reminded that he's not right with God. You guys will remember in the days of Jesus, the rabbis, they would get up to read the scriptures, they would unroll the scroll, and they would parade it through the synagogue. That's what they would do. And something happened there. It was kind of irreverent. A whole bedlam just kind of broke out, and people were jumping at the rabbi and trying to reach the rabbi and trying to touch him and kiss the Torah. Again, a symbol of their love relationship with the bridegroom. They loved him because he gave them the Torah. They loved the Torah. You remember a few months ago we did a study, and we learned that the Hebrew boys and girls had memorized the entire Old Testament by the age of 10 or 12. They didn't have it to take home with them. They didn't have it to read it at home. They came to the synagogue. They learned what the rabbi said. They memorized what the rabbi said. They learned it, and they loved it. Even nowadays, you could go to the synagogue, and the Jewish boys would be, let me read the Hebrew today. Let me read it publicly. They have a high regard for the scriptures. Now, after reading the scriptures, the rabbi would extend his arm in blessing. Remember the other word we remembered in the Hebrew for corner, for the borders, kanaf? Well, that word has another meaning, and it's the word wings, which sheds a little light upon something else here. They wore these prayer shawls. We believe Elijah wore. Remember, he passes the mantle on to Elisha. We believe that was symbolic of the power of prayer, but he passed it on to Elisha. And what does Elisha do with that mantle? He strikes the waters. So they wore one. Jesus probably wore one. You remember Jesus castigates the Pharisees for enlarging their fringes, trying to make themselves more important than what they were. So they wore these. It was customary to wear these. But what's interesting is this idea of the rabbi spreading his arms and a blessing, and you have kind of wings now. Would you read Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 with me? Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Malachi 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing. Where? Unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. We sang that this morning. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Life and light to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. So, go to Luke chapter 8 with me and look at an interesting story. The belief was developed that the Messiah would come and that he would be known by having healing in his wings. And we come to this interesting story in Luke chapter 8, the story of an interrupted journey. Luke chapter 8, verse 42. Luke 8, verse 42. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now think about that story. What does Jesus mean when he says, Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. What was it that she touched? The hem of his garment, the border, the kanaf of his garment. Now often I've pictured the crowd being so pushy that all she reaches was the just barely touching the edge of the garment. Just making her way through. You know, she couldn't touch his head, she couldn't touch his shoulders or reach his hands, just the very edge of his cloak. And that's how I've pictured it before in my mind. But I want to believe that's not the case. I want to believe she remembered Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, that there would be healing in his wings. And that the promise of the Messiah, he would come with healing in his wings. And so she was giving a testament that she believed that Jesus was the Messiah and that there was healing in his wings. Remember, the rabbi would extend his arms and it looked like wings of the garment were held out when his arms were held out. So they're called wings. And there were several traditions that were developed in the first century concerning the tassel, the tzitzit, concerning the kanaf, concerning the prayer shawl. And one was that the knotted fringes possessed healing powers. So all this in the Jewish culture, in their Jewish teaching, and certainly the woman with the issue of blood knew of these traditions, which would explain why she would touch the hem of the garment. Not because that was the only thing she could reach, but that's what she was aiming for. She was wanting to touch the tassel of his garment. The same word for wings, kanaf, is used in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, as we read in Numbers 15, where we read the Lord says, Wear these tassels on the borders of your garment as a reminder of my commandments and my law, so that you won't go and stray away. The same exact word. With that understanding in mind, it gives a whole new meaning to Psalm 91 as well. It says that you shall abide where? Under his wings. Just beautiful. So the lady knew that if Jesus was the promised Messiah, there would be healing in his fringes. And that wasn't just her opinion. That was the opinion of others. We read in Matthew and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. Not just her, but many others sought that they would just touch the hem of his garment. For they knew that there was healing in his wings. And so that's what she desired to touch. She knew what Malachi had said about the Messiah, and she believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And this is the faith that healed her. And that's why Jesus is suddenly interested in who touched him. Who touched me? Well, how can we know who touched you? There's so many people around you. Well, no, he was interested because he knew that somebody in the crowd actually acknowledged him as the Messiah, the Son of Righteousness. So the next words, if you're still in Luke chapter 8, the next words that Jesus says there, he says, "Go, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." It's not just an accident that he said. You know, he wasn't saying, "See you later," or, you know, "Have a good one, you hear?" He wasn't saying that. He was the same peace, the same shalom that the angels pronounced in Luke chapter 2 to those shepherds. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. The same peace that Jesus was talking about here. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. On that very night when God became God with us, Emmanuel, shalom for the world. Peace for the world. Now when she touches him and he says, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This was the presence of God in her life right now. Salvation for her right now. Wholeness and harmony with God right now. Not just salvation from this world of sin with the thought of going to heaven one day, but right now God is living in your life, he was saying, right now. Now we know that it's a continual process of redemption and cleansing. And Jesus does not, he doesn't want to just heal us and forgive us. He wants to restore us to what he originally designed back in Eden. Amen? Restore us to that. And then and only then will we have true peace, true shalom from the Prince of Peace. Now the beautiful message of this peace, of this shalom that we read about in Luke chapter 2, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, is that God is looking for a people. You hear that? He's looking for a people where he can come down and he can dwell in the midst of. And as you read the scriptures, in Genesis, he comes looking after Adam and Eve. In Exodus, he orders them to build what? The sanctuary, so that I may do what? Dwell in the midst of you. In the New Testament, you know, the church is called his body. And he's supposed to be in our midst right now. And so this Christmas story is another example, if not the prime example, of God coming down. Not just enough to be here with us, but he became like one of us. Amen? There are probably places in your life that are not whole. Amen? I don't know if you crave for a peace that passes understanding. Do you want that to invade your life? You don't have to wait. It's a good thing. Angels say, and they shout it out, I imagine, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. He wants to live in you right now. He wants to give you peace right now. He wants to allow you to dwell in that shalom right now. He wants you to touch him right now by faith and say to him, "Lord, I want you to live in my heart and to restore my life to what it was meant to be right now." The shalom that was offered to the shepherds is offered to us as well. It's ours for the taking, if you will. On that very first Christmas, if you will, and during this time of year, as we remember the Lord's birth, I can't think of a better gift than to have the peace, the shalom, that only he can give us. I hope that that's what you desire this time of year. Not all the frenzy of here and there and shopping and buying, but that we would obtain peace from the Peace Giver, the Prince of Peace. Would you take your hymnals?